house. All right, for a springboard tonight, we'll use 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 14. 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 14. Saul was God's chosen king for Israel, anointed by the prophet Samuel. He has chose to run the kingdom according to his own will, though. And so God has decided to replace him. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight, and I thank you for the saving grace that you have provided for us in Jesus Christ. But dear God, I thank you also for the living grace that we have to walk with you day by day as we call upon your name. I thank you for the dying grace that should you tarry, you will give to all that look unto you, who are seeking to glorify your name, and the serving grace that you just give us to live and serve you while you're here. God, I just thank you and praise you. And for that, dear God, I ask for the filling of your spirit. I just pray you'd help me to minister the word of God to the church tonight. I pray that your spirit, your word, would edify the church. Be with my dear wife in the nursery, fill you with your spirit. Use her watching the children, Father. Thank you for the word that's gone forth from this place already this morning, the children's Sunday school hour, the adult Sunday school hour, the morning worship service, the songs of praise, all the labors put into these services and the prayers and the offerings that your people have given for your work. And Father, I pray that it's all been pleasing unto you. I pray that it's been a sweet smell to you and a sweet sacrifice. And Father, once again, your presence we claim. Lord Jesus, you in our midst, we look forward to speaking to our hearts. Draw us closer to you. Those who could not be here, but their hearts are here, dear God, would you be with them and help them and bless them? And Father, even just now, I told Larry Knight, who visited us, his daughter, 6 9, I told him we'd pray for her, and we'll do that. Lord, we lift her up before you and pray for his daughter tonight. Ask that you'd give her grace and healing. Father, be with him as we continue to get to know him and help him tonight as well. And so, Father, we do pray and we do ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. David, a man after God's own heart. What a title. And that God would inspire Samuel to refer to David that way. God has sought him a man after his own heart. And we look at that's amazing to me. By the way, that's the only man in the Bible that the Bible speaks to that way. This verse is quoted again in Acts by Peter, I think it is, or it's one of the apostles in the temple preaching, but they quote this verse that God called David a man after his own heart. What a title. Only one that's called that in the Bible. And as I think about this, you think, well, why David? I mean, how about Joseph? God didn't say anything bad about Joseph in the Bible. How about Daniel? God didn't say one thing bad about Daniel. What about Noah? He had some flaws, but certainly he was a servant of God, loved God. I just think about it. I mean, Noah, and Daniel and Job are mentioned by Ezekiel, I think it is, and for their righteousness, why not one of them? But as I ponder it, I'm encouraged. We find David maybe someone that we can associate a little bit more with, because David had a lot of failures in his life. He's called a man after God's own heart. This is David's assessment of his own life at the end of his life as he's nearing the end. 2 Samuel 23:1. And by the way, we're just going to take a bird's eye view of David's life tonight. I'm not going to go to all the scriptures for sake of time, but just want to fly over David's life, a bird's eye view, and just look at see why might it be that God would call this man, you know, a man after God's own heart, and how can we follow in that? David said about his own life in 2 Samuel 23:1. Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, "The man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, 'The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning, when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by a clear and shining after the rain.'" Isn't that a beautiful picture the Bible paints? How refreshing this one who rules among people ought to be, David says, by inspiration. But then David also makes a comment about his life immediately following, by inspiration. Verse 5, "Although my house be not so with God." And he says, "I'm a ruler, God, and I haven't attained to what you just led me to say. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant." God told David, "I'm going to bless you, David, and I'm going to bring Messiah through you." And by the way, that was unconditional. "I'm going to bless you, David, and bring Messiah through you." Nothing David could do to change that. He said, "Order in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation, all my desire. I'm banking it all on what you said, God. Although he make it not to grow." He missed out on many blessings because of his behavior and received many chastisements from God in his life. And so he talks about that. So let's think about for a moment some things I think that we find common in David's life, along with mistakes. Of course, we know what are some of those mistakes. Well, everybody knows about David and Bathsheba. And, of course, in that incident there, he even had her husband murdered, Uriah. And what a tragedy, you know, that was there. And failing in that, he failed to perhaps rear his children the way he should have. He had promised Bathsheba that Solomon would take the throne, and when death time came for David, he never secured that. And his son, from another wife, Adonijah, rose up and said, "Well, I guess I'll be king." And he had got a bunch of people together. And so Nathan the prophet said to Bathsheba, "Listen, there's something going on here. Adonijah's got Joab and some other officers of David down there. And they're getting together, getting ready to make Adonijah king. So Bathsheba, if you and I don't do something, probably not going to be around here long, because Adonijah's going to be king." So he talks with Bathsheba. They go in and talk to David. Long story short, David does probably what he should have done a while earlier. "Today we're gonna make Solomon king." And so he calls others that hadn't gone aside to Adonijah, and they go down and they anoint Solomon king. And Solomon sits on the throne of David. He probably should have done that a long time ago. And he had such trouble in his house when he, you know, had committed that thing with Bathsheba and murdered Uriah, and by the way, when his son Amnon raped his daughter Tamar, both from different mothers, it seems that the Bible says David was very angry, but that doesn't make for discipline, does it? We don't read anything about the discipline that came upon Adonijah, do we? As a result of that, what happened? A few years later, Absalom says, "We're going to take care of that," because that was Absalom's sister from the same mother of Absalom, and he said, "We're going to take care of him," and he went and murdered Amnon. I'm sorry. And there was a lot of problems in David's house because of things that just, you know, he let slide, and things that he didn't do right, and he numbered the people, you know, when he should have been trusting God, and Israel was smitten for that, and many died of a plague, and so many, a lot of mistakes. We can associate with that, can't we? We've got mistakes in our lives. And I'm thankful that, you know what, if David can be a man after God's own heart, I think you and I can too, amen? And so I think there's hope, there's encouragement for us. What are some things, perhaps, that we could be encouraged, that we do see in David's life, that we're seeing pretty commonplace, that God may have been looking at, that it made him a man after God's own heart? Well, the first one I think of is the idea that David, through his life, it seemed, had a humble spirit. David had a humble spirit. By the way, humility and honesty travel together. When you're honest with yourself and with others and with God, you'll be humble. Humility is a result of honesty. We look at who we are in God's eyes. We look at who God is, what he's done for us. The result is humility. And so whenever I read this point here about humility, we can attach honesty to that. Because you won't have humility without honesty with yourself, with God, and with others. And that, in fact, will produce humility. Okay, they run hand in hand. He had a humble spirit. It runs together there. I think about David when he was running from Saul. When Saul got word that David was going to be king, and Saul wasn't too happy about that since he was king, and so Saul set out to kill David. And we know that for a year and a half or a couple of years, he ran from Saul in the wilderness, and Saul was would chase him and try to murder him, during that time he would hide out in the woods with his men like a band of thieves. And there was some sheep shearers nearby one place they were staying, or some sheep keepers, some shepherds, one place where David and his men were hiding. And they belonged to Nabal, these shepherds. And David and his men were very noble, and they protected those shepherds. They apparently were in a place where thieves could rob and all that. And David and the men, while they were in that place, protected that man's sheep and kept them all safe. Seems like his flock did pretty good. Well, then later on, David and his men are in a hard time. They need some food. And so David tells one of his men, he sends a messenger down to Nabal, and could you tell Nabal to pray about maybe sending us some food, you know, and because he knows how they protected him, kept their sheep, how they helped their men. And so he sends a messenger. And what does Nabal say? Nabal's name means what? Fool or foolish. And they send a messenger to Nabal, and he says, well, who's David? All kinds of servants run from their king these days. Who's David that I should serve him? So David, that message comes back to David. What does David do? He gets a little hot, and he girds on his sword, and he says, before the morning light, there's not going to be any males left in Nabal's household. And so he gets ready to head out. But in the meantime, a servant of Nabal's runs to Nabal's wife, Abigail, and says, you wouldn't believe how our boss just railed on David's servant. After as good as David was to us, and they protected us and kept us from thieves and robbers, and they just pretty much slapped David's servant in the face and sent him back with that message, we're in trouble. You need to do something. So what does Abigail do? She saddles up and rides out and says, we need to go meet David. And she meets David in the wilderness as he's getting ready to come and do away with her husband and all the servants there. And so she comes to him and she says, don't worry about Nabal, he's a fool. She says, I didn't know about this. Listen to your handmaid. Now, I'm a servant, in other words. She knew David was anointed king. She was acknowledging that, and she was honoring that. So she brings an offering for them and food. And what does David do? In 1 Samuel 25:33, David says, blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which thus kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand. Abigail said, let God be the avenger. God will take care of you, David. You're God's anointed. Samuel had already anointed him to be the next king. Let God take care of him. David said, you know, you're right. David was humble enough to listen to the advice of a maid he'd never met. Well, she wasn't a maid. She was Nabal's wife. But he was humble enough to receive it. He says, you're right. And he was humble to receive that. He didn't let his anger take control in that. David humbled himself before God. When he did commit that great sin with Bathsheba, remember that little story that Nathan the prophet came to tell him? about that to show him his sin. He tells him this little story in 2 Samuel 12:1. He says, Nathan came unto David. There was two men in one city, 2 Samuel 12:1. The one rich, the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he'd bought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom. And it was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man and spared to take us of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took of the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled. Remember, David was a shepherd. His heartbeat was beaten with the story Nathan was giving him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against that man. And he said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." And Nathan said to David, what's the four words? "Thou art the man." I appreciate Nathan's boldness. "You're the man, David. You're the man's God talking about in this parable." And of course, and he goes on to say, "Thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel. I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house, thy master's wives. I gave thee the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I moreover would have given thee such and such things." He says there. And so why did he despise the Lord's commandment to do this evil in his sight? And he goes on, verse 10, "The Lord, the sword shall never depart out from thine house, because thou hast despised me and did all those evil things that he did." And he says, "I'm going to raise up someone to chastise you," in the way he describes it in verse 11. He says, verse 12, "For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." And listen to this. "And David said unto Nathan," what do you say? "I have sinned against the Lord." I've sinned against David, who was the anointed king at that time, had the power to say to any one of his servants, "Kill Nathan. Nathan, it's been nice knowing you." And what did he do? He humbled himself before Nathan. He says, "I've sinned against the Lord. You are right." You see, honesty and humility travel together. He was honest with God. He was honest with himself. He was honest with Nathan. And so we see that. He was humbled at the Davidic covenant that God made with him. God brought him into the position as king. God established his kingdom, gave him military victories to the point where the king of Syria began to send and to help build him a house. And God, and David had recognized that God has established me as king. And so, and as David is considering this, he says, "I dwell in a house made of cedar, and the Lord dwells in curtains." They still hadn't built a temple for God yet. So it came into his heart what? To build a temple for God. He goes and he calls Nathan the prophet in. "Here's what I want to do. I'm dwelling in a house of cedars. God's dwelling in a tent. I want to build him a great temple." And Nathan says what? "You go ahead, David. Do all that's in thine heart, for God's with thee." And Nathan walks out and God says, Nathan taps on his shoulder. He says, "Go back, talk to David. It's okay that it was in his heart. It's good it was in his heart. But I don't want him to build it." And so he goes back and he tells him that. He says, God in a sense tells him, I'm going to have your son build the house for me. But let me tell you something, David. I'm going to build a house for you. I'm going to establish your kingdom. I'm going to send my king through your line. King Jesus, folks. My king through your line is going to reign over Israel. By the way, over all the world. Amen. I'm going to establish that. Then the Bible says in 2 Samuel 7:18, Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I?" I like that. What's that? How's that song? "Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, 'Not my will, thine, Lord'?" The answer, I just lost my voice. That means God says, "Quiet, quit singing, just preach." All right. Okay, Lord. Give my voice back. So, he did. And he says, "Oh, Lord God, what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? Who am I? Who am I? I don't deserve this." But God would say, "I just want to show you how good I am." Thank you, Brother Brian. Some of you are saying, "Oh, thank you, Lord." Who am I? Humility. Honesty. When David was king, and one of his chastisements for his sin was that his son would rise up against him. His son would be the one who would commit adultery with his wives as out in the open, even though David did commit adultery with Uriah's wife in secret. God said, "You did it in secret, but it's going to be done to you out in the open." That's exactly what Absalom did when he went to take over his father's kingdom. He would have killed David and his men had they not fled Jerusalem. And he comes into the temple there, the palace, the house where David was on the housetop. The temple wasn't built yet. And he commits adultery with David's wives on the rooftop. And he flees to a place David does across the Jordan, to Mahanaim. And David and his men flee to Mahanaim. And Absalom and his men begin to seek to find him and kill him and all that have fled with him. And as he's in Mahanaim, here's what David says in 2 Samuel 18. David sent forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab, and a third part under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and a third part under Ittai. So he's sending the troops out, and he says, end of verse 2, 2 Samuel 18, "I will surely go with you myself also. I'm going to battle with you." And what's the Bible say? "But the people answered, thou shalt not go forth. For if we flee away, they'll not care for us. Neither of half of us die will they care for us. But thou art worth 10,000 of us. Therefore now it's better that thou help us out of the city. And the king said unto them, listen to this. The king says this, "What seemeth you best, I will do." That's humility. David surrendered to the will of the people. "I'm going to listen to you. To Abigail, I'm going to listen to your advice. To Nathan, you're right. I sinned against the Lord. To the people of Mahanaim, okay, I'll listen to your advice." You see, David was humble enough to take advice. And he humbled himself, that humble heart of David. Humility is not thinking lowly of yourself. Humility is not thinking of yourself. We've said that so many times in here. And we saw that displayed very, very clearly by David in the issue of numbering the people. He'd been well established and decided, "I wonder just how powerful my troops are." Well, it wasn't the power of your troops that got you where you were, David. It was God. And "I wonder how many I have." And so he went out. Of course, Joab didn't want the army. They didn't want to do it. But they come back with them. They no sooner get them all numbered. And the Bible says David's heart smote him. He realized he'd committed a great sin. Why? Because he turned his trust from God to the trust in the power of his troops. Or was trying in the process of doing that. And God says, "You're going to have a problem." And so God allowed him to choose among three chastisements. Long story short, there was a great plague over the people. And many in Israel began to die because of the sin of David. And by the way, that particular event was also because of the sin of Israel. David might not have known why God was judging Israel, but the Bible says God was angry with Israel for their sin, and he was angry with David for their sin. And so David was moved to number the people, and God allowed Satan to move David to number the people, if you read the whole story. And so they number the people, and there's people dying everywhere, and David, as far as David's understanding, is this is all because of me. And so David says in 2 Samuel 24:17, David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel. He saw this angel that was destroying this plague. He saw the angel that smote the people and said, "Lo, I have sinned, I have done wickedly, but these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house." There's humility. God, do whatever you want. It's not their fault. They're dying right and left. This is because of my... Do whatever you want to me, God. Whatever you want in my house, but let them go. You see, David wasn't thinking of himself. That's humility. He was thinking of his people. Of the people. He was thinking of others. And we saw that demonstrated very powerfully in the life of David. He had a humble spirit along with honesty. And by the way, we can be encouraged to have the same. Amen. Through the Spirit, we can have that. Be honest with ourselves, honest with God, honest with others, and be humbled before God as He teaches us in life. Secondly, David had an honoring spirit. David had an honoring spirit. He honored the authorities that God put in his life. We see that throughout David's life. When Samuel was told he was going to anoint another king in place of Saul, a man after God's own heart, this king would be a son of Jesse. So he sent, he was told to go to Bethlehem and have a sacrifice and call Jesse and his sons to the sacrifice. You remember the story. And so as Samuel's coming down to the to have that sacrifice there, Jesse and his sons are invited to the sacrifice. And Samuel begins looking at the people, or at the sons of Jesse, thinking, oh, you know, this Eliab guy, this Shammah guy, he keeps, as David makes his sons pass before Samuel, he's thinking, this is going to be Lord's anointed. And he goes through, how many was it, six or seven brothers, I forget right now, but he goes to all the brothers that are there, and God keeps saying, it's not him, Samuel. It's not him. Not this one. Not this one. Finally, he gets through them all. God hadn't confirmed to Samuel any of those. Are the one he anointed. He said, well, are here all your sons? And what did David's father say? He was in 1 Samuel 16:11. Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him. We'll not sit down till he come hither. You see, the youngest was keeping the sheep. Why do you suppose? Because that's what his dad told him to do. That's what his dad told him to do. He was honoring his father. He was honoring his father. David wasn't afraid. We'll see about that in the life of David here. He didn't go down because, oh, I'm afraid to go down. I'll keep the sheep, Dad. That wasn't the case. Dad appointed him to keep the sheep. He was honoring his father. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Amen. Ephesians 6:2. David honored his father. David honored God. He honored God. By the way, when you honor others, it brings that boldness in your life. We could put honor and heroism together. Honor and heroism together. They kind of run together. He honored God. Remember when, once again, here he was honoring his father. His brothers were out to war against the Philistines. And mountain on one side, mountain on the other side, and a valley in the middle, and a man by the name of Goliath, you know, came down from the Philistines and said, why are we thinking about fighting? They're here, I'm one man of the Philistines. You just send one man down from your camp, and the winner wins. You beat me, and we'll be your servants, and we beat you, and you'll be our servants. And he said, you beat me, we'll be your servants. Liar. because they did beat him and they still had to fight him. Amen. But he went down there. And David took some cheeses down to his brothers and to the captains. You remember that story? Why? Because his dad told him to. And he heard Goliath cursing God's army, God's people, the Israelites. And everybody was afraid of Goliath. They were hiding. They trembled to the size of him and at the boldness of his blasphemy. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 17:26, and by the way, who's he honoring here? God. He says, and David spake to the man that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to this man that killed this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Amen. See, he honored God. And we see that. And it brought that boldness in his life. He honored his father. He honored God. He honored the anointed of the Lord. Who was the anointed of the Lord? Who was the anointed of the Lord when David was anointed? Saul was. Saul was God's. You're kind of in a dilemma when God anoints you king, but God also anointed the one whose king is king. That's kind of a dilemma. Because all through David's life, the Bible says what? That he would not lay his hand upon the Lord's anointed. I'm not taking him.
God put him there, I'm not taking him out. If God put him there, you better let God take him out. By the way, he actually put to death several who thought they were doing a favor killing some of Saul's people. And so he honored God's anointed. We'd find that again, and I'll skip over some of these verses here. But he says in 1 Samuel 24:6, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing. Saul was sleeping in the cave, and David could have killed him, but he cut off a part of his robe. Saul went out after his little nap there. He was on a David hunt, by the way. He just didn't know David was in the cave and his men. And he gets further away and says, Saul, you know, could have killed you. Some wanted me to, but I didn't. I won't lay my hand on the Lord's anointed. And so he honored the Lord's anointed. David honored his covenant with Jonathan. Remember that? Jonathan and David, what a friendship in the Bible. Jonathan is one of the most just amazing studies in the Bible, just his courage, his honor, his faithfulness to God, his faithfulness to his father, his faithfulness to David. Jonathan had just been a great servant for God. He just got a great victory against the Philistines. They were surely going to lose. And Jonathan looked at his armor bearer and he said, you know, God can win by many or by few. How about we go down there and see what God will do? And he and his armor bearer went down. You know the rest of the story. Thousands of Philistines began to fall before it was too long, and they won the battle. Amen. They no sooner get done with that than this young strapping boy comes down into the valley and says, "Who is this Goliath?" And he defeats Goliath. And so they bring this guy to meet Saul. So they bring him to the castle, and Jonathan's looking at him. Man, this guy, he's got the same spirit. This man, the same God that delivered the Philistines into my hand and my armor bearer delivered Goliath into his hand. He's got the same relationship with God that I do. And the Bible says they were knit together. Their hearts were knit together. And they made a covenant. And Jonathan knew that Samuel, that David was to be the next king. And the Bible talks in one place about him stripping himself of his clothes, his armor, and such that he had. That was a sign that he was saying, "You are the God's anointed." Even though Jonathan, the son, should be next on the throne, he's saying, "No, no, no. If God says you, David, then it'll be you." Jonathan thought he'd be second. He'd be David's helper. But Jonathan didn't know that God was, that he was going to die in battle, being faithful to his father. But David kept that covenant. And when David became king, he says, "Are there any left of Saul's house?" What did he say? "Jonathan hath yet a son, Mephibosheth. He's lame on his feet. He can't walk." David said in 2 Samuel 9:1, "Is there any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" See, he honored Jonathan. He honored his friend. And the Bible said there was one of the house of Saul, a servant, his name was Ziba. And Ziba says he has a son which is lame on his feet. And David sent and fetched him, and Mephibosheth thought he was going to die because he was of the house of Saul. And Saul's, you know, David's now king, so I guess I got to go. I've been hiding too long. He was out in the wilderness hiding and such. But he comes to David's house, and David says, "Fear not, Mephibosheth. You're going to eat at my table. I'm going to take care of you the rest of my life." And David was good to Mephibosheth for Jonathan's sake. He honored that. He honored that. When he fled to Mahanaim from Absalom, a man named Barzillai came, and they brought David food. Remember that? They brought them beds and water and raisins and stuff to eat when David and his men had fled from Absalom. And Barzillai was an old man, but a man of God, and so they provided for David's needs while he was holed up there in Mahanaim, and while Joab was still on David's side at that time. He was out against Abishai, and so while they were out, while David stayed at Mahanaim, like he told the people that he would, that he wanted them to do, they took care of him there. Met his needs. Well, after it's all done, David wants to take Barzillai and say, "You come over with me, Barzillai. I'm going to take care of you the rest of your life." You know, Barzillai says, "You know, I'm so old, David. My family's here. I can't smell, I can't taste food, I can't hear the singer sing anymore. Well, I'd just be a burden to you. Let me just go ahead and die here and be buried in my home place. But I tell you what, I've got a servant Chimham. And he says, why don't you take care of him and bless him like you wanted to bless me? And in 2 Samuel 19:38, the king answered, Chimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee. Whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. You see that? Humility and honor. David was a man who honored others. He honored the authority that God put in his life. He honored those that had blessed him. He honored his friendships and such. And because he did these things, David had an honorable spirit. David was a man what? Became a man what? That other people honored because of the way he lived. Because of the way he lived. And just in closing, we think about that. About how other people looked at David. You see, because he lived that way, other people looked at him, what? With honor. And because of that, we do as well today. Saul is having problems. God's allowing an evil spirit to torture his mind a little bit since he's intent on living life his own way. But he calls for a man to play for him some music. And one of his servants says this about David. He says, behold, I've seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, listen to this, that is cunning in playing, and listen, a mighty valiant man, a man of war, prudent in matters, and a comely person, a beautiful person. And why is all that? The last part, and the Lord is with him. You talk about honor. When Saul said, find me a man, that man thought of David. And in his heart, he honored David. Not because David was perfect, but because he could see God working in David's life. He could see God working in David's life. God said he was a man after his own heart. How many of you like to be called a man after his own heart, or a person after God's own heart? Amen. That's a pretty good honor, isn't it? That's a pretty good honor. Jesus said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. I think David followed. He didn't follow perfectly, but he did. But he followed. When he fell down, he got back up, amen. When he sinned, he repented. Listen, folks, David. One thing David became good at, it was repenting. And it was repenting, by the way, and meaning it. And that's what we need to become good at. If any man serve me, Jesus says, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. That blows my mind. Did you know at the judgment, at the great supper, the marriage supper of the Lamb? I almost can't spit out the words. Jesus is going to gird himself. Serve us. He already did it all. But he's going to do it again. He's going to gird himself and serve those that have followed him. I can't wait till I look into the eye of the Savior. What that must be to see him, as we sang, face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. It's no wonder we take the crowns. By the way, that's all the rewards. And do what? Cast them at the Savior's feet. It's no wonder. But all that, he was honest and humble. He honored in his relationships. He honored God and so many others. And thus he was seen as having an honorable spirit. And we certainly can follow and be encouraged to follow in those footsteps. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the example of David. Yes, there are many bad things in his life, and we can focus on them, but we don't have to, God. You forgave him. He repented. He sought you. You used him in a great way, imperfect though he was. And dear God, you don't love him a whit more than you love us. And you want to use us and be as close to us as you were to him. In a way, we have so many blessings greater than David because we know who the Lord is now. He didn't know his name would be Jesus. He didn't know that one who would come from his line would be Jesus. And he didn't know the things that we know. And I thank you for what you've shown us. I thank you for your love to us in Christ. God, help us to be ones that would be after your own heart. Would you help us to trust you more, to love you more? Would you help us to be humble, to be honorable, and to be seen as honorable as we have our eyes upon you? And help us to be careful to thank you and praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.